When increasing your prices, you need to make sure you don't lose the cheap or cheaper clients you have right now. But even if you do, you'll now have more time to find the high-paying clients that you want to get. I was there, and I charged $480 per logo design in 2017. Well, now my minimum is $8,000. I don't even charge per project anymore, but based on the value I provide to my clients. Welcome to the Profitable Graphic Designer Podcast. I'm Katie Sandell, a brand strategist, designer, and the CEO of a successful six-figure design agency. I teach brand, graphic, and web designers how to get more clients, increase their pricing, and build profitable design businesses in a simple and sustainable way. We have online programs, courses, and templates that you can use, as well as our coaching and mastermind high-touch experience for creatives. You can find out more about starting and growing your design business at aventiveacademy.com. But until then, grab a cup of coffee and join me in today's podcast episode. This topic is, how would I say that? Near and dear to the hearts of many graphic brand and web design business owners. How to stop attracting cheap design clients. We all know that working with clients who undervalue our services can be frustrating, and it simply doesn't work if we want to build a profitable and sustainable design business. So let's talk about it. In 2017, I was working nonstop. I had a lot of clients, and to be honest, I am very grateful for that, but I had a lot of cheap clients. I was charging, I think at that time, like I was already at $480 per logo design, and I was making making $10,000 a month. So if you look into that, I was working all the time because I wasn't charging enough. So if I wanted to make $10,000 a month as a graphic designer, as a solo freelancer, then I had to charge more in order to work less. And I'm not talking here about like, oh, you should charge $10,000 for 2 hours of using a Photoshop. Like, no, I'm just saying that realistically, that wasn't sustainable, not just from the business perspective, but also I was glued to my chair and my laptop. I was working nonstop. Can you just imagine? So how many clients? So for $10,000, let's say average was $500 making per client. So I needed 20 clients per month, and it just like wasn't possible. That's 20 logos, and not just designing those logos, but also I had to run my business. I had to continue promoting myself. I had to continue talking to clients. I had to work on revisions. I had to send invoices. I had to send proposals. It was a lot. It simply, you know, like it wasn't sustainable. It was stupid. So I knew that I had to increase my prices, but I was still only getting the clients who are asking me, you know, sending me DMs, how much for a logo? And I kept attracting those cheap clients, so I wasn't able to increase my pricing, because as soon as I did, I lost a lot of clients and I wasn't getting close to those 10K anymore. So it was just like, okay, what do I do? So let's dive right into it, and I'll tell you 5 tips to stop attracting cheap design clients. Before we get into the tips, it's very important to understand why you might be attracting these clients on the first place. Often, it's a combination of different factors. For me, that was my marketing, mostly my marketing, because I was constantly on Craigslist. And Craigslist is known, like honestly, Craigslist is known for cheap services, cheap labor, bad delivery service. Like it's just like a bad platform. But at that time, Instagram wasn't as big or as popular, or at least I didn't know how, or I wasn't there, right? I was on LinkedIn, but I didn't do much. You know, I just didn't know how to promote, how to market myself. I was going to networking events, but not to the right ones. So I was just wasting my time meeting a bunch of people with no results and things like that. So marketing was definitely my problem. But what your problem could be is pricing. Maybe your prices are too low, making your services appear less valuable. Maybe on your website, you still have your pricing. Maybe it's the same as, you know, me, like marketing. Like, are you targeting the wrong audience or sending the wrong message? Maybe it's your portfolio. Like, does your portfolio accurately represent the quality of your work? Do you still have like everything and anything in your portfolio? And maybe it's networking. Are you connecting with the right people who appreciate your skills and who have the money to invest in your services in their business as well? So take time to really reflect on these aspects and figure out why you might be, you know, attracting those cheap clients in the first place. Now, when it comes to tips, let's start with a tip one. So the first tip to stop attracting cheap design clients is to define your ideal client. And I know you've heard me talk about this so many times, but really one of the most effective ways to stop attracting cheap clients is to define and target your ideal, your dream client. And you need to consider factors like industry, like are they going to be a skincare business? Are they going to be construction companies? Are they going to be, I don't know, like supplement companies, are they, like whatever it is, you have to figure out the industry. Then you have to figure out their budget, like how much money you want them to have set on the side for a designer, project size. Like, do you want to work with large companies or you would prefer to work with smaller companies? And, you know, so those are all the things that you have to figure out. And when you're working on that, so let's say you have an ideal company or a client and you have their demographic. Now you have to figure, so demographic is basically, you know, knowing if it's like a male or female. And by selecting this doesn't mean you're excluding anyone. You're not excluding the rest. You're just very intentional about your actions, your business actions, and how you're going to spend your time. So you have to figure out their demographic, which is how old they are, where they live, you know, their name, things like that. But also psychographic, like how do they make purchasing decisions? Why would they choose you? What their problems and challenges are? What their goals are? How are they trying to solve the problems that they have? And then you have a clear picture of who you want to work with. Your marketing efforts can be tailored to attract those clients specifically. You know, if I was to tell you, can you find a client who needs design services? Like, where would you even start from? Like, would you go on Instagram or LinkedIn? Would you go to a networking event? Would you post, or you would do cold calling, or like, what would you do? But if I was to tell you, can you find a client who is starting a healthy snack and they are looking for packaging design and they, you know, have these problems and this and that, like you would start to think differently. You would think, okay, where would a business owner who's looking for a designer and who's in the health and wellness product business, like where would they be? They would probably go to networking events, very specific networking events. They would Google, they would type that in, or they would be on LinkedIn and ask their network. Those are just examples. it's very like, it's much easier when you know exactly who your target audience is than just looking for a client. And by knowing who your ideal client is, you can state that all over your website, social media, when going to networking events and things like that. And with that, you're positioning yourself as the best possible option for your ideal client. And that is how you're stopping those cheap design clients to come to you. Okay, now tip number two is to establish your value proposition. And this sounds, you know, more fancy than it really is, but cheap clients often focus like solely on price. They are the ones who are going to ask how much for a logo, how much for a website, instead of asking for what is that you provide? Like, hey, let's jump on a call. No, one of the first questions is always how much. So you need to clearly communicate your value proposition. So what sets your design services apart from the competition? Like highlight your expertise, maybe that's unique design style, or it's the results you've achieved for previous clients. Maybe you have worked with someone who is selling clothing on their website, and then you redesigned their website and now their, you know, sales increased by whatever percentage. Now you can use that. Like really make sure potential clients understand the value they're receiving beyond just the design. And I talk about this all the time. But if you're still a graphic designer talking about offering logo design, packaging design, website design, flyers, brochures, business cards, and whatever, you're just blending in. You need to talk about the client's problems and not your services. Let me give you an example. If you're talking to a product-based business, you want to talk about them selling their products. Like, hey, I'm going to help you sell more products by improving your visuals that are going to attract the right target audience. Is that something you're interested in? Do you see how that sounds way better than, hey, I'm a packaging designer? Like, okay, everybody, like every designer can work on packaging or labels, right? If you're working with a service-based business, so service providers, talk about, you know, maybe websites and conversion rates, maybe about logos and visuals, again, attracting the right customers, the right clients for their services and things like that. So those are the real problems that your clients have. They don't have a problem of not having a logo. They don't have a problem of not having a website. They don't have a problem of not having packaging designs or labels or whatever it is. Their problem is bigger than that. So you really want to talk about that, and you will see how you will exclude the cheap clients because they will not understand it. They will not get it. So if you're talking about, you know, their problems, they'll be like, okay, yeah, sure, that is my problem, but how much is for a logo? So you really need to set yourself apart from the rest of the designers and to stand out, and they will see that you're a professional, you're an expert, and they honestly won't be attracted to you, which I know it can sound bad. Or the other thing is like, they might come back. So cheap clients sometimes go and find cheap designers. And then when they grow, as they grow, they come back to more like established and professional designers when they're looking to redesign their things. So, you know, just don't be afraid of losing clients. The tip number three is your pricing strategy. Like, are you charging what your services are worth? Do you even know your worth? Like, you really have to consider factors like your skill level, experience, and the real value you bring to the client's business. Like, don't be afraid to adjust your rates to better align with the value you provide. Let me give you an example. So in 2017, the year that I mentioned at the beginning of this podcast episode, I was providing logo design for $480. And it's just a logo. And when I'm talking to my potential clients or future clients, like whatever, I am offering them a logo design for $480, and that is the value that they see in that. Like, that's it. A few years later, or maybe even like the same year, when I switched from, you know, just offering logo design, I was like, how can I charge more for this logo design? That's when I realized, okay, well, I shouldn't even call it a logo design. It should be visual identity, because I was actually offering visual identity and not just a logo. I was still the one selecting colors and fonts and whatnot. So it really wasn't just the logo. And from there, you know, I started offering like visual identity. Still, my clients were not able to understand it. And I was increasing my prices, you know, to $1,500 or $3,000. But then I wanted more. I wanted to grow more. I wanted to make more, work less, and all the good stuff. So I learned more about the brand strategy, because brand strategy is what really helps your clients grow. Brand strategy is a long-term plan for your client's success, and it helps them figure out who their target audience is, their mission, vision, their voice. And then when you have all of that, then you translate the brand strategy into the brand identity, so the visual identity. And like, I don't want to talk about brand strategy too much, but basically I added more value to my services. And from there, I was able to book one client for $10,000 or one client for $20,000 because I added more value. And now when clients see, so let's say a cheap client lands on my website and they see that I offer brand strategy, visual identity, and so on, they're like, oh, this is like too much. I just don't need this, because they're so focused on the price and on that one thing. So when you add more value to your services, you can charge more because now your services are valued higher, right? So you have to really think about your pricing strategy, and there are many different pricing strategies. We covered that inside the Profitable Designer program, if you want to check that out on aventiveacademy.com. But basically, you can charge per hour, which I never recommend. You can charge per project, which is good. And you can do value-based pricing, which is what we do in my branding and design agency, where we charge based on the value we provide for the company. So we don't charge based on the project, but based on the company or a business or a person we work with. Okay, so when you're charging more and offering more value, like the real value behind your designs, you are really not attracting cheap. You're not attractive to cheap clients anymore. Okay, tip number four is to showcase high quality work. And I know that this sounds easier said than done, but your portfolio is really a powerful tool. You have to make sure that you showcase your best work and something that really represents your capabilities. High quality work will attract high paying clients. And even though cheap clients might be attracted to it, when they see something that looks so good, that looks so expensive, they might not even reach out to you. So you really want to include only the best work you have and only for your target audience. If that is four case studies, then include just four. Like, you don't want to include 15 random design projects. It's better to have four quality case studies than 10 random. When I'm talking about portfolio, I'm talking about case studies. So case studies are different than portfolio. Portfolio would include your visuals only, while case studies would start from describing who the project was for, the timeline, how the project went, like all the steps, workflow, and then how you got to the designs, like strategically. Basically, it's like project descriptions. So when you add project descriptions to your portfolio and showcase everything from start to finish, that is a case study. So my advice is to always include case studies over portfolios, because in a portfolio, people cannot see the value that you provide. When you have case studies, you are really positioning yourself as a high-end expert and you look expensive. So cheap clients are not going to reach out to you. They will see you as like, oh, like he or she, like they're very expensive. Like I'm not sure I can afford them, and they will not reach out. And so you're stopping like with attracting cheap clients by showcasing your best work. And my last tip is networking, because I got a lot of clients through networking events. You know, networking can help you connect with clients who understand the value of good design. So my advice is to attend industry events, like join online design communities, and like really build relationships with professionals who can refer quality clients your way. Your network can be a really valuable source of high-paying, appreciative clients. Now, don't make a mistake that I made, which was going to a lot of different networking events without knowing who my ideal client is or what my ideal networking events are, and then just meeting a bunch of people and kind of like networking, and then you feel useful, but you're not getting referrals. You really have to go to networking events where you're going to either meet people who are your potential clients or meet people who work with your potential clients and who can be your referral partners. So people who are going to send clients to you and people who you can send your clients to as well. You know, so it's just like very important to be strategic about the way you spend your time in your business and the way you spend your time going to those networking events. You also have to know exactly what you offer, who you offer it to, and the way you are going to talk to the clients or to your referral partners. When you go strategically for like to networking events, you're basically attracting high-paying clients, and you will be surprised. Like, I've met designers at that time. So at that time, when I was charging, you know, 500 or 1,000, whatever, I met designers who were working for design agencies who were charging 10,000, 20,000, and so on per design project. And I was so shocked. Like, I was like, how is this even possible? Like, I'm offering the same services for, you know, like 10 times cheaper or even more, you know? So it's very important to go to networking events, but be very strategic about it and talk to people who can afford you. And that means finding the events that have those kinds of people. So, you know, I'm sure you'll be able to find it in your town or city. And if not, there are networking events online, especially after COVID. Literally, if you go to LinkedIn, you will find online networking events. So, all in all, in, you know, conclusion, basically attracting profitable clients is achievable for graphic brand and web design business owners by defining your ideal client, establishing your value proposition, working on your pricing strategy, showcasing high quality work. So being focused on case studies and networking strategically, like you can really shift your focus away from attracting cheap clients and really being all about building a thriving design business, just like I did. So now it's time to take action, like really review your current client base, look into your pricing, how are you going to increase it while shifting away from cheap clients without losing a lot of clients, and really start implementing these 5 tips. It may take time to see, you know, significant changes, but the efforts will be well worth it in the long run, because I know that your goal is not to work a lot and make a little bit. We all want to get to that level where we can make more while working less. And as a design business owner, I know that that's possible. And I believe it's possible for you too. Okay, that's it for today. If you want to connect with me, you can do that by following me on Instagram at Aventive Academy or just visiting my website, aventiveacademy.com. Thank you for joining us today on The Profitable Graphic Designer. In addition to this podcast, we have created some amazing online courses to help you set up your business, get more clients, and scale to the income level you desire. If you need help developing your graphic brand or web portfolio so it stands out, if you want to learn how to create proposals new clients will say yes to, if you're still trying to figure out how much to charge for your services, and if becoming the go-to designer for your dream clients is your goal this year, then I invite you to enroll in my signature 12-week program, The Profitable Designer, or one of our other specialized online courses. To learn more about it and get started, visit eventiveacademy.com. See you next time.